Welcome to No Longer Conformed. I'm Eric Garthy, and we are studying Such Amazing Grace, Freedom in Jesus Christ. In this session, we're looking at Acts chapter 10 and verse 34, Transformed by Grace. As followers of Jesus Christ, we have a higher calling, which impacts our relationship with others. We're called to relate to others based on God's grace. Look at Acts chapter 10. Look at the whole chapter, including our text, beginning with verse 1 down to verse 48. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man, and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he observed him, he was afraid, and he said, What is it, Lord? And so he said to him, Your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa, and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon the tanner, whose house is by the sea. He will tell you what you must do. And when the angel who spoke to him had departed, Cornelius called two of his household servants and a devout soldier from among those who waited on him continually. So when he had explained all these things to them, he sent them to Joppa. The next day, as they went on their journey and drew near the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. Then he became hungry and wanted to eat. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners, descending on him and let down to the earth. In it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And a voice came to him, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, No, not so, Lord. For I have never eaten anything common or unclean. And the voice spoke to him again a second time. What God has cleansed, you must not call common. This was done three times, and the object was taken up into heaven again. Now while Peter wondered within himself what this vision which he had seen meant, behold, the men who had been sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house, and stood before the gate. And they called and asked whether Simon, whose surname was Peter, was lodging there. While Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, Behold, three men are seeking you. Doubting nothing, arise, therefore go down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Then Peter went down to the men who had been sent to him from Cornelius and said, Yes, I am he whom you seek. For what reason have you come? And they said, Cornelius, a centurion, a just man, one who fears God and has a good reputation among all the nation of the Jews, was divinely instructed by a holy angel to summon you to his house and to hear words from you. And then he invited them in and lodged them. On the next day, Peter went away with them, and some brethren from Joppa accompanied them. And the following day, they entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was waiting for them and had called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter lifted him up, saying, Stand up, I myself am also a man. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many who had come together. And then he said to them, You know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with or go to one of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore I ask without objection, as soon as I was sent for, I came. I ask then, For what reason have you sent me? So Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing, and said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard and your alms are remembered in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call Simon here, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon, a tanner by the sea. When he comes, he will speak to you. Now I sent to you immediately, and you have done well to come. Now therefore, we are all present before God to hear all the things commanded you by God. And then Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality. But in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. For God was with him, and we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before by God, even to us who ate and drank with him. He arose from the dead, and he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. And then Peter answered, can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they asked him to stay a few days. From Peter's story, it's a long story, but from Peter's story, we can see several principles of transforming grace that will guide us in becoming spiritually mature. First, there's a need to grow spiritually. Look at verse 13 again, down to verse 16. And a voice came to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean. And the voice spoke to him again a second time, what God has cleansed, you must not call common. And this was done three times. Peter spent 3 years with Jesus. He received instruction from the world's greatest teacher. He witnessed miracles and even walked on water himself. He was backstage at Jesus' transfiguration. And yet Peter failed to see the call to spread the gospel to the Gentiles. Listen, a lack of spiritual understanding and false teaching based on ungodly traditions resulted in prejudice. Maybe your struggle isn't racial like Peter's, but we all struggle in some area. Whether the problem is financial, relational, or emotional, the root cause is usually a spiritual issue. Peter wrote in his second letter in chapter 3, verse 18, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let me ask you, are you still growing? God wants you to grow beyond whatever limits your ability to experience his abundant life and his amazing life. To grow beyond whatever limits you. Whatever it is that limits your ability to experience, you need to grow beyond that. Second, there's a need to go faithfully. Verses 19 and 20. While Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, behold, three men are seeking you. Arise, therefore, go down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. When we begin to grow spiritually, God will tell us to go faithfully. One of the major principles from Henry Blackaby's Experiencing God discipleship course is you can't go with God and stay where you are. God sends his followers out of their comfort zone to places and circumstances that require walking by faith to accomplish God-sized tasks. Listen to Peter again in verses 28 and 29 when he arrives at the home of the Gentile Cornelius. Then he said to them, "You know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with or go to one of another nation? But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore I came without objection as soon as I was sent for. I asked them, 'For what reason have you sent for me?'" Listen, like Peter, we face obstacles that work to keep us in our shell. Fear of failure or fear of the unknown. Indifference to those who need Christ's love. Busyness that blinds us to the fact that we're living in the shell. A lot of activity but it's still in a shell, or we carry the shell with us. Traditions prevent new ways to reach out. And then third, there's a need to show mercy. Verse 34 to 35. And then Peter opened his mouth and said, "In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality. But in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him." Without understanding this story's context, it's difficult to appreciate Peter's reluctance to take the gospel to the Gentiles. In our text, we find Peter receiving a divine revelation to take the gospel to someone who was not only of a different race, but Cornelius represented the enemy of Israel, Rome. Peter's willingness to enter Cornelius' house was a major factor in the walls of prejudice being torn down. That action provided an atmosphere of openness. Peter entered their world and boldly proclaimed the gospel. When Peter stepped through Cornelius' door, he had to step over hundreds of years of hatred, false teaching, and cultural differences. He had to be willing to experience the criticism of the traditionalists, the legalists, and the racists. This is a story of obedience more than anything else. As Peter obeyed God, mercy began to flow from his heart. We often think we must feel merciful before we obey, but the Bible demonstrates that obedience precedes feelings. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world." Will you move from your comfort to grow, to go, and to show? You never know who will respond, and it might change your life. It can certainly change someone else's eternity. You have a great day.